Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Welcome to the serialized audiobook of The All-Pro, Season 4 of the Galactic Football League series. Written and performed by Scott Sigler. The All-Pro is also available as an ebook, a paperback, and as an ad-free, unabridged audiobook. For links to purchase any version, visit scottsigler.com/theallpro, one word, no spaces, or find it at scottsigler.com/books.
The team jogged into the locker room. Despite a grueling practice that included running and conditioning, all the players felt the excitement of the new season. Just 6 days in, and they could already see the difference from last year. The Kraken's passing game would be just as good as the running game, and the running game was already among the best in the league. They could all feel it. Feel the tug of destiny. Starcher continued to excel at tight end. No one could catch like him. His backup, Yotaro Kobayashi, hadn't improved much during the offseason. Quinn might not have noticed Kobayashi's lack of development were it not for Rick Warburg. Warburg was a different player, a better player. Quicker, bigger, even a touch faster. He ran precise routes. He caught everything thrown his way. There were 3 weeks of preseason left, however, and only time would tell if Warburg's improvement was permanent. Quentin walked to his locker. There, waiting for him, was Masal the Efficient. Masal held a message board that trembled in his shaking Pettypalp hands. Oh, for crying out loud. What could it be this time? Had he been fined again? Masal, you okay?
Elder Barnes, I am not the creator of this news, I assure you.
Relax, big guy. I'm not going to hurt you.
Do you promise?
Quentin sighed. Look, I'm not the same person I used to be, Masal. You're just the messenger. Let me have it. Masal's eyes swirled with green. He handed over the message board. Quentin read, and as he did, his stomach dropped to somewhere just north of his ankles. It read, Memo from the desk of GFL League Commissioner Rob Frost. To Quentin Barnes. Subject, disciplinary meeting regarding illegal contact with another franchise. Our investigators have learned that during the 26-82 Tier 2 season, you met with a representative of the Tow Pirates on at least two occasions. They have also learned that the subject matter of these meetings may have been discussions about intentionally losing games in order to prevent the Krakens from reaching Tier 1. GFL rules stipulate that any and all meetings with other franchises must be announced to the league prior to the meeting, so that the league has the option of providing a representative. The fact that you did not announce these meetings means you are in violation of league rules and are subject to potential fines, suspension, or permanent dismissal from the league. My ship is en route to Ionath City airspace. A shuttle will land at the Kraken's building in the second week of the preseason. A specific meeting time will be arranged then. The shuttle will bring you to my ship. We will discuss possible disciplinary action. Sincerely, Commissioner Rob Frost. CC, Greedock, the Splithead. Quentin lowered the message board. He focused on his promise not to hurt the frightened Quith worker. "Missal, this is bad, isn't it?" Missal's eye flooded a pure, solid green.
"It gets worse, Elder Barnes. Greedock the Spithead would like to see you. I am to take you to his chamber immediately."
Missal was right. That was worse. I suppose I should skip a shower, then?
Greedock the Spithead emphasized the word immediately, Elder Barnes.
Quentin could demand the presence of Danny Lundy, but this wasn't a contract issue, and waiting for the dolphin would serve only to further enrage Greedock. Quentin pulled off his armor, leaving him clothed in only a sweaty cool suit and football shoes. He wasn't mad at Missal anymore. In fact, Quentin wondered if his own eyes were flooding green.
"Lead the way, Missal."
When he was 11 years old, Quentin had been caught stealing food. He had broken into a restaurant during the night, cracking the atmosphere seal on a window and sliding his scrawny, ill-fed body through the narrow opening. If he had just taken the chicken and ran, he might have made it. But he hadn't eaten in 2 days. Hunger pinched his stomach, his chest, made him feel the fabric of his pants sliding across his skin when he walked, made him feel his cheeks stretch when he talked. Hunger hurt. When he opened the walk-in refrigerator, that hunger overwhelmed him. He grabbed a sauce-smeared chicken breast and tore into it, biting off a too large chunk.
So good, so good.
He barely even chewed before he swallowed. Even through his hunger, through his base instincts, a little clock was ticking inside his head. Later in life, that little clock would serve him well on the football field, giving him an innate ability to sense how much time he had before a lineman closed in on him and took off his head. As a kid, however, he didn't know how to listen to that clock. He didn't know what it meant. When the lights flicked on, then he knew what it meant. But it was too late. He stood there, frozen in the light just like a baby round bug, barbecue sauce smearing his mouth, hands holding the chicken so tight that drops of grease beaded up on his knuckles and fell to the floor. The restaurant owner, standing there, looking at him. Caught. Caught stealing food, just like his brother, Quincy. Quincy, who had been hung in the town square. "Put it down," the man said. Quentin opened both sauce-coated hands. The torn chicken breast fell to the floor with a splat. He tried to swallow and could not. He couldn't breathe. His stomach churned with a new sensation. Even at 11 years old, he'd seen enough death to know what awaited him if this larger, older, well-fed man called the cops. The man looked Quentin up and down, slowly, eyes lingering on skinny legs, thin arms, the gaunt face. Quentin knew that expression, the same one some of the deacons wore when they saw him in the street. The same slow look that the deacons gave the boys who weren't as fast as Quentin and couldn't get away. Or, worse, the boys who were sent to the deacons by their parents. So it wasn't just the prospect of hanging that Quentin had to fear. As Quentin's mind scrambled for strategy, wondering if he should punch the man in the throat, or maybe try and trip him or hit his head with a door, the man spoke again. "Give me a reason I shouldn't turn you in, boy." Quentin started to talk, then choked. He coughed. The meat stuck in his throat. Thoughts of attacking the older man vanished, replaced by the singular, blank concept that he couldn't breathe. Unknown moments later, Quentin felt himself grabbed and roughly turned. A big hand hit him in the middle of the back. Still, breath wouldn't come. Quincy Barnes died by hanging. His little brother Quentin would die by chicken. The hand hit a second time. A glob of greasy food shot out of his mouth and landed on the floor. Air rushed through his ragged throat. Water filled his eyes. He felt himself pulled by the arm. The man's hand, so strong. Something hit the back of his legs. He dropped, found himself sitting in a wooden chair. Quentin looked up to see the restaurant owner staring down, not quite as angry as before. How old are you, boy? 16?
11, Quentin said.
The man's eyes widened.
You lie!
Quentin shook his head.
No, Elder. I'm just big for my age.
Yes, but 11? You're taller than my son, and he's 17. Quentin didn't know what to say, so he shrugged.
So tall, the man said.
And yet, you're skinnier than my daughter, who makes herself throw up.
She what?
Makes herself throw up. Quentin blinked.
You mean, like, throw up food?
The man nodded. The thought filled Quentin with rage. Someone eating food, then throwing it up? On purpose?
Now you lie, Elder.
The man's eyes narrowed, then he laughed.
This makes you angry? A girl eating my delicious food, then wasting it?
Quentin nodded. The man stared at Quentin for a few moments more, eyes again moving up and down. Quentin's skin crawled, but only for a moment. This man wasn't looking at Quentin like the deacons did. This was different.
You are so thin, the man said. Why?
Was this some kind of a trick question?
I don't get to eat much. I was robbed last week. I lost my wages.
Where are your parents? Quentin shrugged. The man nodded.
You work in the mines. You're an orphan.
Quentin said nothing. If the man knew he was an orphan, he could send Quentin right to jail for stealing food. Jail tonight, then the gallows tomorrow.
You stay here, the man said. I know your face now. If you run, I will send the police after you. Do you understand?
The man walked out of the room. That clutching feeling of fear again spread through Quentin's chest and belly. What would this man make him do? Quentin thought about running, going back out the window. But where would he go? The man was right. Quentin's height already drew too much attention. The police would have no trouble tracking down such a tall, skinny boy. The man returned. He carried something. A plate and a glass. He put the plate down in front of Quentin. 3 chicken legs, slightly charred, gleaming with barbecue sauce, filling the room with a mind-numbing, spicy odor. And in the glass, milk.
You broke my window, the man said. You stole my property. I have power over you now. You understand this?
Quentin kept staring at the chicken. He couldn't look away.
Yes, Elder. You will call me Mr. Sam, the man said. I am not part of that church. You will not address me as Elder again. Understand?
Quentin nodded, wondering if the drool in his mouth would suddenly spill out like a fire hose.
Good, Mr. Sam said. Tomorrow, when you finish your work in the mines, you will come to me. I am going to teach you a lesson, orphan. You're going to work 2 jobs for the next year. I do not care that you are only 11. You will work for me, or I will turn you in. Do you agree to this deal?
Quentin nodded. He had no choice.
Good,
Mr. Sam said.
You'll begin work tonight, fixing my window. But every day, before you begin work for me, you will eat. I will not be embarrassed by having a skinny boy working in my restaurant. What would people think if they saw you? They would think my food was no good.
Sam reached into his pocket and pulled out a fork. He placed it on the table next to the plate.
You don't need a knife, he said. It's that moist, you see, falls right off the bone because I marinate it for days and slow cook it, unlike the excuses that call themselves chef in this neighborhood. Now, eat.
Quentin's hand shot out so fast that Mr. Sam took a step back. Quentin attacked the chicken legs. The milk seemed to vanish on its own, a full glass 1 second, empty the next. Before Quentin finished the last bite, the glass was full again. And there was a second plate, this time with 2 burger patties and meat-crusted ribs.
It is good, Mr. Sam said. You like?
Best food ever, Quentin said with a full mouth. Ever!
Quentin remembered seeing Mr. Sam smile for the first time. It would not be the last.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Hi, I'm Alexis Ohanian. You may know me as one of the co-founders of Reddit, but more recently, a large part of my identity is being a father to my wonderful daughters. In my podcast, Business Dad, I hope to open the conversation about working parents a bit. You'll get to hear from a wide range of business dads, from Rainn Wilson and Guy Raz to Todd Carmichael and Shane Battier, to find out how they balance being a dad with a successful career. Business Dad is available now, so be sure to listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
For the next 5 years, Mr. Sam fed Quentin every day, turning a freakishly skinny boy into a 7-foot warhorse weighing nearly 400 pounds. But for all the good things Mr. Sam did, Quentin never forgot that feeling of terror the first time he'd laid eyes on a man. He never forgot what it was like to look at someone who could decide if you lived or died. As Quentin looked up at Greedock the Splithead sitting atop his white pillar, he knew that feeling once again.
"This memo," Greedock said. "This piece of information that Commissioner Froh sent to you. Is it true?"
The voice. So cold, so calm. Sometimes Greedock yelled. But Quentin had learned that when the Quith leader was really angry, angry enough to kill, he spoke in a quiet voice that seemed to suck hope out of the air and cast it down into the sewers.
"Greedock, listen. It's not what you think. I
did not ask for explanations," Greedock said. "I asked, is it true? Did you meet with that Kredorakian piece of garbage called Magon?"
Quentin could barely breathe. He felt the cool air on his face, felt the room lights playing off his skin.
"Yes, sir," he said. "Magon approached me."
"And you did not bother to tell me. I'm going to ask you why you did not bother to tell me, Barnes. I suggest you strongly consider giving me the truth. At this point in our relationship, I feel you should truly understand the depth of my disappointment. Any further lack of communication will not go well for you."
Greedock stared down from his perch, his single eye 6 feet above Quentin's. Quentin wanted to look away, but he forced himself to maintain eye contact. Greedock had all the power, true, but even now, Quentin Barnes would not show weakness.
"I didn't tell you because I didn't want to cause problems," Quentin said. "Magon approached me. I didn't seek him out. I didn't contact the Toe Pirates."
"You didn't contact them, but you wish to play for them."
Quentin shook his head.
No, Shab. I mean, no, Greedock. Well, yeah, I wanted to play for him before when I was a kid, but I'm a Kraken now.
You don't want to play for the Toe Pirates?
Quentin shook his head again. Greedock leaned forward, stared down.
So, when you did want to play for the Pirates, you didn't contact them. And now that you do not want to play for them, you have contacted them. I'm sure you can understand my confusion, Barnes.
Danny Lundy. Quentin felt his fear ratchet up another notch. Danny had already made contact with the Pirates. The agent couldn't officially take an offer from another Tier 1 team, but he could begin a dialogue, show that Quentin was as interested in the Pirates as the Pirates were in him.
That's different, Quentin said. I know how it must look, Greedock, but
you have no idea how it looks, human. You see a football field, a football team, and your own selfish desires. You do not see the honor game, the game of reputation, of positioning, of power. Karani Kolak wants my quarterback. Karani Kolak has been courting you before you even went to the combine. You talked to his representative behind my back and did not tell me. Now your agent is talking to Kolak? I will tell you how this looks, Barnes. It makes me look like a fool. You are making me look like a fool.
Quentin could maintain eye contact no more. Greedock was right. From an owner's perspective, Greedock looked like an idiot.
I apologize, Quentin said. Magon told me that if anyone found out I was talking to him, I could have been suspended. I thought if I kept quiet about it, it would just go away.
In my line of work, things do not go away on their own, Barnes. If you want something to go away, you have to make it go away.
Quentin looked up, then nodded. Greedock sat back.
And what did Magon tell you?
The cat was out of the bag. There was no point in skirting around the edges anymore.
It was my rookie season. Magon said Karani Kolak wanted to give me a 3-year contract. He said that if I made sure the Kraken stayed in Tier 2, he would make me a Toe Pirate.
Greedock stared. His eyelid closed. Quentin waited, still not knowing what to say. The eye opened.
He wanted you to throw games?
Quentin nodded.
But you did not,
Greedock said.
You are a fool to keep this from me, Barnes, but I am not so blinded by anger that I can't see the truth. Although you played horribly at times in your rookie season, we won games. We did advance to Tier 1. What is the human phrase? Oh, yes, you played your ass off. But if you ever intentionally played poorly to make my franchise lose, now is your chance to tell me. If you do not tell me now, and I find out the truth later, the last thing you see will be radioactive dirt raining down to bury you in your shallow grave.
Greedock leaned forward, leaned down.
Did you throw games, Barnes? Did you ever not give me your all?
Quentin let out a breath he'd unknowingly held in. He was on familiar ground once again.
You already know the answer. I play to win. Every snap, every pass, every run.
Greedock blinked, then leaned back.
I believe that you did not throw games. However, that does not change the fact that you have put me in a humiliating situation. I have been summoned by that red-toothed, officious bastard Frost. Me summoned. You and I will travel to his ship tomorrow and watch him pass judgment like he is the Shamakath and I am the vassal. I must suffer this because of what you did. Therefore, this is your fault.
Quentin nodded. Greedock was right.
It could be worse,
Greedock said.
The rest of the league could know about it. As long as we keep this information between us, the commissioner, and the Toe Pirates, I can live with this loss of face. But if it were to become public...
Greedock's voice trailed off, inviting Quentin to fill the silence.
I sure as hell won't tell anyone, Quentin said. I've learned my lesson, boss.
You won't tell that human reporter, Yolanda Davenport?
Why would I tell her?
The rumor is that she's working on a cover story featuring you. I suggest you be very careful when you speak with her. Davenport has proven to be resourceful in her ways of gathering information.
Meaning what?
Meaning, don't let your adolescent hormones drive your decisions, Barnes. I have seen what an attractive female face can do to you human hatchlings.
Quentin waited. He didn't want to say anything at all.
Commissioner Frost sent me another memo,
Greedock said.
He wants to talk to Jew as well. It seems the murder of Grace McDermott has caught up with us.
How easy it was to forget that deadly day when Quentin, John, Rebecca, Chodo, Mumo Killowee, and Chodo Thicket had risked their lives during a trip to Orbital Station 1 to save Jew. Having Jew around now seemed so normal, like he'd always been part of the Krakens.
But you didn't kill her, Greedock. You hurt Anna Vellani.
I know that. Truth does not matter here, Barnes. Proof does, and we have none of it. I am not ready to let Frost talk to Jew. I will arrange something so that Jew cannot attend. Jew is facing criminal charges as opposed to breaking a GFL regulation. Frost doesn't have the same leeway he has with you for breaking rules pertaining to contract talks with another team. If he schedules a meeting and you miss it, he can suspend you for that. I can shelter Jew a while longer, but you and I must talk to Frost.
Greedock did not sound like his usual confident self.
What can happen at this meeting?
Frost is the emperor of the little empire known as the GFL, Barnes. He can suspend you for a game, possibly even the season.
Greedock's tone, his body language, both so subtle they were barely recognizable. But those tells showed Quentin that Greedock had no power in the situation, and that he hated this fact. Quentin was getting better at reading his boss.
I have more bad news,
Greedock said.
We did not get all of the rookies. I was able to sign Sheboygan, Rich Palmer, and Tim Crawford.
Black wisped over Greedock's cornea.
Regat the Unobtrusive will play for the Y'all Criminals. Gladwin and Cooperstown signed with Wabash. Gloria Ogawa outbid me, damn her eye. But I will get us defensive backs in free agency, I assure you.
Quentin nodded. Greedock had been beaten out for three players. That would not sit well with the control-obsessed Quith leader, especially when he'd lost two of those players to Ogawa, his nemesis.
And to Ra the Freak?
Quentin said. Greedock waved a pedipalp, as if the question didn't even merit his time.
Of course. No one else wanted your misshapen mutant.
Thank you for trusting me on this one, Greedock. Tara will pay dividends, I promise.
Trust is not a word I think you should discuss with me for a long time, Barnes. Now leave. I grow weary of dealing with your impossible level of wasted intellect.
Another sigh escaped Quentin's chest. That was a tell of his, but he didn't care. He'd live to play another day. Quentin turned and walked out of the office.
You have been listening to The All Pro, Season 4 of the Galactic Football League series. Written and performed by Scott Sigler. Produced by Ariok Morningstar with post-production by Steve Rickyberg. For more information on Scott and more free stories, go to scottsigler.com. Theme music is the song The Kids Are Coming For You by the band Super Weapon. You're kind of sad.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am extremely excited to invite you to Rachel Uncensored. It's my podcast where I sit down and get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. And sometimes we might be under the influence when we do so. We cover things from personal stories to hot button issues. And it's the only place on the internet you can find an uncensored version of me. It's a side of me that you might not have seen before because it's not the most family or brand friendly. But don't worry, I'm still sort of slightly a decent human being. If you're intrigued, then make sure you check it out. New episodes drop every Wednesday. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.